48. Rhythm of Work. But we stand in the sea, pleased with our domains. Leave us alone. Moash grunted as he crossed the uneven ground, hauling a thick, knotted cord over his shoulder. Turned out the Voidbringers had run out of wagons. Too many supplies to bring and not enough vehicles. At least, vehicles with wheels. Moash had been assigned to a sledge, a cart with broken wheels that had been repurposed with a pair of long steel skids. They'd put him first in the line pulling their rope. The Parshman overseers had considered him the most enthusiastic. Why wouldn't he be? The caravans moved at the slow pace of the Chulls, which pulled roughly half the ordinary wagons. He had sturdy boots and even a pair of gloves. Compared to bridge duty, this was a paradise. The scenery was even better. Central Alethkar was far more fertile than the shattered plains, and the ground sprouted with rock buds and the gnarled roots of trees. The sledge bounced and crunched over these, but at least he didn't have to carry the thing on his shoulders. Around him, hundreds of men pulled wagons or sledges piled high with foodstuffs, freshly cut lumber, or leather made from hog's hide or eel's skin. Some of the workers had collapsed on their first day out of Revelar. The Voidbringers had separated these into two groups. The ones who had tried, but were genuinely too weak, had been sent back to the city. A few deemed to be faking had been whipped, then moved to sledges instead of wagons. Harsh, but fair. Indeed, as the march continued, Moash was surprised at how well the human workers were treated. Though strict and unforgiving, the Voidbringers understood that to work hard, slaves needed good rations and plenty of time at night to rest. They weren't even chained up. Running away would be pointless under the watchful care of Fused, who could fly. Moash found himself enjoying these weeks hiking and pulling his sledge. It exhausted his body, quieted his thoughts, and let him fall into a calm rhythm. This was certainly far better than his days as a Light Eyes when he'd worried incessantly about the plot against the king. It felt good just to be told what to do. What happened at the Shattered Plains wasn't my fault, he thought as he hauled the sledge. I was pushed into it. I can't be blamed. These thoughts comforted him. Unfortunately, he couldn't ignore their apparent destination. He'd walked this path dozens of times, running caravans with his uncle, even when he'd been a youth. Across the river, straight southeast. Over Ishar's field and cutting past the town of Inkwell. The Voidbringers were marching to take Kolinar. The caravan included tens of thousands of Parshmen armed with axes or spears. They wore what Moash now knew was called war form, a Parshmen form with carapace armor and a strong physique. They weren't experienced, watching their nightly training told them they were basically the equivalent of Dark Eyes scrounged from villages and pressed into the army. But they were learning, and they had access to the Fused. Those zipped through the air or strode along beside carts, powerful and imperious, and surrounded by dark energy. There seemed to be different varieties, but each was intimidating. Everything was converging on the capital. Should that bother him? After all, what had Kolinar ever done for him? It was the place where his grandparents had been left to die, cold and alone in a prison cell. It was where the blighted King Elokar had danced and connived while good people rotted. Did humankind even deserve this kingdom? During his youth, he'd listened to traveling Ardents who accompanied the caravans. He knew that long ago, humankind had won. A Hariatiam, the final confrontation with the Voidbringers, had happened thousands of years ago. What had they done with that victory? They'd set up false gods in the form of men whose eyes reminded them of the Night's Radiant. The life of men over the centuries had been nothing more than a long string of murders, wars, and thefts. The Voidbringers had obviously returned because men had proven they couldn't govern themselves. That was why the Almighty had sent this scourge. Indeed, the more he marched, the more Moash admired the Voidbringers. The armies were efficient, and the troops learned quickly. The caravans were well supplied. When an overseer saw that Moash's boots were looking worn, he had a new pair by evening. Each wagon or sledge was given 2 parchment overseers, but these were told to use their whips sparingly. They were quietly trained for the position, and Moash heard the occasional conversation between an overseer, once a parchment slave, and an unseen spren who gave them directions. The Voidbringers were smart, driven, and efficient. If Kolinar fell to this force, it would be no more than humankind deserved. Yes, perhaps the time for his people had passed. Moash had failed Kaladin and the others, but that was merely how men were in this debased age. He couldn't be blamed. He was a product of his culture. Only one oddity marred his observations. The Voidbringers seemed so much better than the human armies he'd been part of. Except for one thing. There was a group of Parshmen slaves. They pulled one of the sledges and always walked apart from the humans. They wore work form, not war form, though otherwise they looked exactly like the other Parshmen, with the same marbled skin. Why did this group pull a sledge? At first, as Moash plodded across the endless plains of central Alethkar, he found the sight of them encouraging. It suggested that the Voidbringers could be egalitarian. Maybe there'd simply been too few men with the strength to pull these sledges. Yet if that were so, why were these Parshmen sledge pullers treated so poorly? The overseers did little to hide their disgust and were allowed to whip the poor creatures without restriction. Moash rarely glanced in their direction without finding one of them being beaten, yelled at, or abused. Moash's heart wrenched to see and hear this. Everyone else seemed to work so well together. Everything else about the army seemed so perfect. Except this. Who were these poor souls? The overseer called a break, and Moash dropped his rope, then took a long pull on his water skin. It was their 21st day of marching, which he only knew because some of the other slaves kept track. He judged the location as several days past Inkwell in the final stretch toward Kolinar. He ignored the other slaves and settled down in the shade of the sledge, which was piled high with cut timber. Not far behind them, a village burned. There hadn't been anyone in it, as word had run before them. Why had the Voidbringers burned it, but not others they'd passed? Perhaps it was to send a message. Indeed, that smoke trail was ominous. Or perhaps it was to prevent any potential flanking armies from using the village. As his crew waited, Moash didn't know their names and hadn't bothered to ask. The Parshmen crew trudged past, bloodied and whipped, their overseers yelling them onward. They'd lagged behind. Pervasive cruel treatment led to a tired crew, which in turn led them to being forced to march to catch up when everyone else got a water break. That, of course, only wore them out and caused injuries, which made them lag farther behind, which made them get whipped. That's what happened to Bridge 4 back before Kaladin, Moash thought. Everyone said we were unlucky, but it was just a self-perpetuating downward spiral. Once that crew passed, trailing a few exhaustion spren, one of Moash's overseers called for his team to take up their ropes and get moving again. She was a young Parsh woman with dark red skin, marbled only slightly with white. She wore a hava. Though it didn't seem like marching clothing, she wore it well. She had even done up the sleeve to cover her safe hand. "What'd they do, anyway?" he said as he took up his rope. "What was that?" she asked, looking back at him. Storms. Save for that skin and the odd sing-song quality to her voice, she could have been a pretty Makabaki caravan girl. "That Parshmen crew," he said. "What do they do to deserve such rough treatment?" He didn't actually expect an answer, but the Parsh woman followed his gaze, then shook her head. "They harbored a false god, brought him into the very center among us." "The Almighty?" She laughed. "A real false god, a living one, like our living gods." She looked up as one of the fused passed overhead. "There are lots who think the Almighty is real," Moash said. "If that's the case, why are you pulling a sledge?" She snapped her fingers, pointing. Moash picked up his rope, joining the other men in a double line. They merged with the enormous column of marching feet, scraping sledges and rattling wheels. The Parshendi wanted to arrive at the next town before an impending storm. They'd weathered both types, high storm and everstorm, sheltering in villages along the way. Moash fell into the steady rhythm of the work. It wasn't long until he was sweating. He'd grown accustomed to the colder weather in the east near the Frostlands. It was strange to be in a place where the sun felt hot on his skin, and now the weather here was turning toward summer. His sledge soon caught up to the Parshman crew. The two sledges walked side by side for a time, and Moash liked to think that keeping pace with his crew could motivate the poor Parshman. Then one of them slipped and fell, and the entire team lurched to a stop. The whipping began. The cries, the crack of leather on skin. "That's enough." Moash dropped his rope and stepped out of the line. His shocked overseers called after him but didn't follow. Perhaps they were too surprised. He strode up to the Parshman sledge where the slaves were struggling to pull themselves back up and start again. Several had bloodied faces and backs. The large Parshman who had slipped lay curled on the ground. His feet were bleeding. No wonder he'd had trouble walking. Two overseers were whipping him. Moash seized one by the shoulder and pushed him back. "Stop it," he snapped, then shoved the other overseer aside. "Don't you see what you're doing? You're becoming like us." The two overseers stared at him, dumbfounded. "You can't abuse each other," Moash said. "You can't." He turned toward the fallen Parshman and extended a hand to help him up. But from the corner of his eye, he saw one of the overseers raise his arm. Moash spun and caught the whip that cracked at him, snatching it from the air and twisting it around his wrist to gain leverage. Then he yanked it, pulling the overseer stumbling toward him. Moash smashed a fist into his face, slamming him backward to the ground. "Storms, that hurt." He shook his hand, which had clipped carapace on the side as he'd connected. He glared at the other overseer, who yelped and dropped his whip, jumping backward. Moash nodded once, then took the fallen slave by the arm and pulled him upright. "Ride in the sledge. Heal those feet." He took the Parshman slave's place in line and pulled the rope taut over his shoulder. By now, his own overseers had gathered their wits and chased after him. They conferred with the two that he'd confronted, one nursing a bleeding cut around his eye. Their conversation was hushed, urgent, and punctuated by intimidated glances toward him. Finally, they decided to let it be. Moash pulled the sledge with the Parshman, and they found someone to replace him on the other sledge. For a while, he thought more would come of it. He even saw one of the overseers conferring with a fused. But they didn't punish him. No one dared to again raise a whip against the Parshman crew the rest of the march.